Thank you, Linda. That was, "I could never outlove the Lord." And if you truly believe that with me this morning, say amen.
Amen.
You know there's a benefit to being seniors. You've been around the block and you've tried a lot of different things. And that's one of the things that senior Christians share is they've tried things, haven't we? And we've been around the block and yet we trust the Lord because He's proven to be so faithful in our past. Take your Bible this morning and turn over to Matthew chapter 17. Before we get started, I want to ask for two people to tell me a blessing in your life, something that you are grateful for. Bev's hand was first. Amen. Amen. She's lost five or six babies, and this is she's in her eighth month, so and she's healthy.
She's about in her ninth month.
Ninth month. Okay. Reese.
I'm able to rejoin choir. My breathing.
Amen. Well, good. We have missed you in choir. Did I see Treasure? Did I see your hand? Amen. 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 And you got a double blessing because Royce is with you too.
Oh, yes, I could not do it without
Royce. Well, I just put her on the spot, didn't I?
Royce takes care of me.
Yes, sir.
I want to just thank everybody for the prayers that Mr. Duffer, Treasure, in the last few weeks. He's been bad, and then she's got better, and he's so much better now.
Amen.
Thank everybody for the prayers. It's been a blessing. And the ones that have called and visited and stuff.
Sure.
Thanks to all of them.
Well, one of the things that I enjoy least as teaching this class since 2006 is because, you know, seniors are in that stage where you're out some because you're ill and you fall and, you know, you're in the hospital. And so we frequently have people not with us, don't we? Travis is not with us, and so we miss people a lot. Now, the reason I started out with that is because I have a gratitude. Now, I had lunch with my daughter that's pregnant, Leslie, on the Friday. And so I'm grateful for, you know, our first grandbaby coming. But in the process of talking with Leslie, I had an opportunity to brag about my church. And it just did me good to talk about the blessings that I have had from being in Bible Baptist Church these many number of years, 16 or whatever it is, 15 or 16 years. And so I'm not going to take the time because we don't have an unlimited amount of time to tell you all the reasons why I'm grateful, but one of them is the fact that overall there's been a very good spirit here and a unified and cooperative spirit. Now, we're just like a family. Every family has their hiccups, okay? We do. But overall, there's been a spirit of the Holy Spirit's power and cooperation, and that is because we go off of this right here. We're not going to hear Brother Chris's opinion this morning and Brother David's opinion tonight. And you may think those guys are the best in the world or the worst in the world, but what you're going to know is you're going to get God's Word.
Amen.
Amen to that. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. In our story this morning, and this is a story you've heard so many times, and so many times that I started not to even go here this morning, but in our story this morning, people, individuals, men spend time with God. And so that's what kind of prompted all of this. And this was a very busy time for these men. There was a lot of ministry going on. I hate being up here on this stage. There was a lot of ministry going on. Jesus had given his disciples the authority to heal and the power to do miracles. And so there was a lot of service going on. And they were told to preach in his name. and they were told to preach. Whether or not they got results, if they got results, that was great. They were told to leave that place and go to another place and preach. And if they didn't get results, they were to shake the dust off of their hands because people rejected the gospel and not them. And it became very well known what they were doing, all of the healings and all of the miracles that were being done. And so people started following Jesus in his ministry on this earth. And not just a chapter or two before our chapter this morning, you read the account of the feeding of the 5,000. A lot, and most scholars tell us that was probably 5,000 men, the way they did their counting back then. Add the women and the children, and it could have been 10,000, who knows, or more, or less. But here's the point. People were following Jesus, and there was a lot of good going on, and there was a lot of service going on, and a lot of healing, and it had to be an exciting, exciting time. But up in chapter 16, I know I told you to go to chapter 17, but up in chapter 16, I'll just spur of the moment, want to take you up there and show you some things that Jesus said. Look with me in verse number 21. It says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed." Now wait a minute. Put yourself in the shoes of the disciples, or the sandals, whatever the case may be. Put yourself in their shoes. You've seen all this wonderful activity and all the miracles. And Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and he fed 5,000 plus people. And now Jesus is saying, "I'm going to die." Boy, that must have been hard to hear, Royce. That must have been hard to understand. And in verse 22, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Now this was typical of Peter's response, okay? Peter was a hothead, and he knew it all, and he was overconfident in himself. We love him to death because he loved the Lord. But let's just tell it like it is. And he said, "Lord, that's not going to happen. You're not going to die." Verse 23, "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So once again, we're in the mind of the disciples and the leaders and the followers of all these good things that have happened in their life. And they're on cloud 9, Brother Elbert. They're on the mountain. And that's a good place to be. And then Jesus starts talking about death. And Jesus starts talking about, you want to be my disciple? You want to follow me? Then you deny yourself and take up your cross. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means there's going to be persecution ahead. And Jesus turns, he just switches the whole conversation around from all the success that they were having and all the encouragement that must have been going on and all the serving. And he says, you're going to go through some really, really rough times. Verse 25, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So that's where we are this morning in chapter 17. Those two events. All the good, but Jesus has changed their thoughts from all the good to, you better brace yourself if you're going to follow me. Now let's read in verse number 1, chapter 17. "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them into a high mountain apart," or apart from others, apart on its own. "And he was transfigured," or transformed, "before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here." Look up here a minute. Isn't that what I just said and some of you just said? It's a good place to be. Bible Baptist Church is a good place to be. Good to be here, Brother Albert, isn't it?
Amen.
Peter's saying, look, here we got Jesus. We got Elijah. Moses. Now, why were they there? Well, see, Moses represented the law. All through the Old Testament, Moses gave us the law. The law pointed to the coming of Jesus Christ, his birth and his death and his resurrection, okay? Moses represented the law. Elijah represented the prophets, who also foretold of Jesus Christ. Well, here we've got Elijah and Moses, and we've got Jesus, who they forecasted or they foretold. We've got them all three together, and Peter's feeling pretty holy right now, Brother Jerry. He's in the moment. Let's see what he says. Verse number 4, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Now, when I look at Jesus' ministry, there's a lot of parts of his life and parts of his ministry in which he experienced humiliation. He was born in a stable. He was rejected by his family. He was baptized by a man in the wilderness, John the Baptist. He was rejected by the leaders of the day. He was put on that cross and he was crucified. There was a lot of parts of his life in which he was humiliated. But between all those parts of his life, there were times in which God glorified his Son, Jesus Christ. And this chapter is one of them. Here these men are together and something takes place. Remember, they've been busy serving, traveling, following Jesus, seeing miracles and seeing people fed and healed and all kinds of really neat things. And then they go from that to the talk about picking up your cross if you want to follow the Lord. Be prepared for persecution. And then they go with Jesus, alone with Jesus, to this mountain, secluded, apart from others. And it's evidently something that a situation where Jesus is spending time in prayer with his Father. And it's such a special moment, a special holy moment. And the Bible says that Elijah and Moses come and they take part of this time with Jesus. And Peter, being who he is, who always talks before he thinks, okay? We love who Peter was, but he always was the first one to say something without thinking about it. And he looks at the situation and he's so caught up in the moment. Royce, he looks at Jesus, he looks at Elijah, you know, and he looks at Moses, and he says, I tell you what, let's make three tabernacles. Now, don't forget, what they did back then was in preparation for the feast, there would be tabernacles, and that's sometimes they would be for 7 days, sometimes they would be for longer. And Peter's thinking, well, let's make one for Jesus, and let's make one for Elijah, and let's make one for Moses. This is a good time. And at this exact point in time, God the Father decided to show Peter something else. And so we see here in our text, in verse number 1, can I just point something out to you? And I don't really have time for this, but I think this is important. This whole thing happened because of what happened in verse number 1, okay? It says, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain. Okay? There are three conditions that had to happen for these men to experience this time with their Lord. The first one is this right here. They followed Jesus. Jesus led them. They were following Jesus. They weren't following a man or a program or something that entertained them or Linda, something that made them feel good and fuzzy and warm all over. They were following Jesus. None of this would happen if Jesus had said, okay, you see that mountain over there? We're going up there. We're going to spend time together and I want you to follow me. Nothing, none of this would have happened, Brother Ray, if they said, no, I don't really feel like climbing today. I got something to do, Jesus. I got something that I got to take care of. No, they were actually following Jesus. And that was important because any time God speaks to us, He's going to speak to us when we're following Him. And how do we follow Him today? Through His Word. And so the next thing that had to happen is they went together. Now, you know, you've heard me for so many years say, you know, the Christian life is a balance. Dwayne is the same as Judy and is the same as Albert and Linda. We need personal time alone in the Word of God. We need time where nobody's messing with us and God's Holy Spirit has an opportunity to speak to me and them and you. We need that time. But we also need time together. And one of the dynamics of this whole story is these men went together to follow Jesus. Somebody told me the other day, well, I read the Word of God, but I just don't go to church. And you know what I said? I said, well, I understand that. I understand that. It's difficult to get up and go to a church if it's cold outside or if you don't like somebody at church, you know how the church is full of hypocrites and all that stuff. But let me tell you, there's a special dynamic when God's people get together and listen for His Word. There's a special power there. And a special power that you can't get by yourself. Now, there's things that you get by yourself that you can't get with others, but as part of this story, there's a special dynamic for these men because they got together and they started following Jesus. So they were following the Lord and they did it together. And then, number three in this one verse is they secluded themselves. Jesus led them to a secluded mountain. Apart from others. You say, why are you spending so much time on these points? Well, I'll tell you what. We live in a society that has conveniently started minimizing church. Minimizing church for whatever reason. Started, for me, I started hearing about most of this about 30 years ago when music really started changing, you know. Well, that music is too old-fashioned, or that music is too contemporary. And then the program started changing, and the face of what we've known for, you know, 50 years, church no longer looks like church anymore. And, you know, here's what I got to say to that. Things change. Things change. The looks of things change. The sound of things change. The dynamics of things change. That's just life. I think one way, Landon thinks another. And I guarantee you, if you could probe our minds, both of us, our way of thinking would be different than Royce's in many ways because we're different people. God gave us different personalities and different thoughts. Things change. But one of the things that will always remain the same is that special dynamic when God's people get together and when God's people that are following Jesus get together. And they seclude themselves to a place and listen for His voice. We prayed in the men's prayer room this morning. This right here, I think it was David. So the way David worded it. Lord, we're grateful to be in Your house. Not because we're following a man, but because we're following Your Word. You know how good that is? You know, let's pretend like Landon is a church member, average Joe church member, okay, not my son. And pretend like I'm preaching, and Landon, if I'm preaching the Word of God, listen, Landon can come to church and he may not even like me. He probably doesn't sometimes. He may not even like me, but because the Word of God is what it is and there's power in the Word of God, and because that special dynamic exists when God's people get together, Landon has an opportunity to get closer to the Lord because of the Word of God. And I have been blessed so many times when I'm traveling on the road to hear somebody on the radio, and I know, because I know their ministry or know of their ministry, I know that it's a good ministry, but I really don't care to listen to their style of preaching, you know? It's not me. But Brother Stacy, I keep the radio on that. I don't change it. And 30 minutes later, I'm the one that's got the blessing. And it's the Word of God that does that. And so these men have spent time, have secluded themselves, and they followed the Lord, and they've gone to this place. And this special dynamic has taken place because they have followed the Lord. And Peter says in verse number 4, Lord, it's a good place to be here. It's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias or Elijah. Now, first of all, let's give Peter some credit, okay? Let's give Peter some credit. He acknowledged the place that he was in, and that's important. There's not anybody sitting out here that couldn't pick apart Bible Baptist Church if you tried. Amen? You know why? Because we're human. You can look at my life, or I can look at your life, and if I wanted to, I could pick something apart. Amen? Yeah, we could. I don't know where I was going with that, but the thought was good at the time. When you get to the house of God, your focus has to be on the Lord and not on other people. I was blessed this week because out of nowhere, when I was having lunch with Leslie and thoroughly enjoying my time with her, we got into the discussion of church, and it just spewed out of my mouth how grateful I was to be at Bible Baptist Church. And you know, I thought about it. I thought about it Saturday, and I thought about it this morning as I was preparing. And it's really not because, you know, it's a great place to be. It's not a perfect church. It's not the best of buildings. It's a good building, but it's not the best of buildings. And we have a great pastor. I think it's because God's Word speaks to me here. That's why this is a good place. That's why this is a good place. And Peter, let's give him some credit. He acknowledged that. It's a good place, Royce. I'm in a good place. I look back on my Christian life, and I think about time in Grand Prairie at Calvary Baptist Church. That was a good place. Not because, I mean, it was a big church, and there was a lot going on, but not because of that. Because I grew spiritually in the Word of God. If the Lord tarries his coming and I age to be 70 years old, I got a feeling I'm going to look back on these past 16 years, Pat, and say, you know what, that was a good time. Had a good pastor. Had a good associate pastor, Brother David. Sweet spirit in the church. And when we had a few bumps and we got over them, and it's a good time. Peter had the foresight to say, this is good. But Peter, just like me and you, sometimes we don't leave it where it needs to be left. Peter was a thinker, and Peter was a talker, and often he did things that he didn't need to do. He went overboard, you know his life, and here he starts going overboard a little bit. Hey, let's make a tabernacle for the Lord, and let's do it for Moses too. While we're doing it, let's do it for Elijah. And Brother Royce, I find myself doing the same thing sometimes. Overthinking it. Lord brings me to a place, and he wants me to be in this place, and he wants me to serve him, he wants me to love him, he wants to do what I can, and then I start thinking about it, and I start planning it. And that's what Peter did here. What I'm trying to say is sometimes you just need to enjoy where you are. Sometimes you just need to look at the facts. What I like about Bible Baptist Church is what's right is right. The important things are right. And I think, with all my heart, that that's the most important thing. We're not a part of a church that believes things found outside of God's Word. We're a part of a church that I think is a pretty good mix, has a pretty good balance, you know, overall, of what to do and what not to do. Somebody told me something this morning, and I won't tell you who it was. Somebody told me something this morning that I thought, ooh, not good. But you know, Brother Albert, in the same thought, I thought, but hey, you know what? That person is responsible for that, and not me. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's grace. And if he's wrong, Stacy, he's wrong. If he's right, he's right. But I'm not going to let that stand between our fellowship. And I'm not going to let that hinder our time of learning here. And so Peter, he starts thinking, you know what? We need to build 3 tabernacles, one for each of these 3 men. Because this is a good place, and this is what we need to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you start thinking about things too much, you can go overboard with it. And let's see what happened. And then I got to wind this down. Verse number 5. While he yet spake. Hey, listen to this. That's King James English for something interrupted him. Mid-sentence. Beverly, he was in mid-sentence and something interrupted him. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." It's like God said, Royce, to Peter. God told Peter, "Stop, stop. You're in a good moment, Peter, and you realize it. But Elijah and Moses, all their time, they forecasted and they foretold about one person, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. This is not about Elijah. This is not about Moses. It's not about Peter and James and John or Andrew. This is about Jesus Christ. Hear ye him. And so, in our thinking, in our worship, in our time at Bible Baptist Church, it's good to know and appreciate where we are. And it's good to serve. Man, we got so many people in this church that serve. They do some little something. They're so faithful to clean that room or mop that floor or do this or do that. We got so much of that here. We're in a good place for so many reasons. But we got to keep our eyes on the Lord. Last week we looked at the situation where one of the pitfalls of becoming old is you've been around the block, which is good. You've got experience, which is good. But we start, you know, it's easy to start thinking you got it handled. Amen? Yeah, I know how to do this, Albert. And real easy, we could easily stop relying on the Lord Jesus Christ. I've had to watch that as a Sunday school teacher. It's real easy to prepare a lesson. I love it. I'm so privileged to be able to do what I love to do here in Grace Walk. I love it. I love teaching. I love reading. And it's real easy, treasure, for me to prepare a lesson one week and it be in my own power. And I've had to watch that. I spent some time with Brother Strunk this past, he left Monday, I guess, heading back to, or no, he leaves tomorrow, heading back to Florida. because he preached at other churches after ours. And so some of this time that I spent with him was out in stores and on the road and all this stuff. And here's what I appreciate about Brother Strunk is his reliance on the Lord. Okay, here's what I mean. We're in the truck going somewhere. I kid you not, this happened. We're on Quaker going to 82nd Street. And the man starts praying. You know, I'm driving, and he starts praying. And first I thought it was just verbalizing something, but no, something was on his mind, and he started praying. And that's a little different, okay? We do that sometimes silently. But here's what I got from it. After spending that much time with him, I realized that, you know what? I need to do more of that. There's a situation in my life, or there's a situation in your life. And in Brother Strunk's life, the situation was something that threw him a curveball. And it was really bothering him. And he just started praying. I was driving, and I looked over. And he was looking out the window to the side. His eyes wasn't closed or anything. But when he stopped, he said, "I just had to do that." And I realized this guy's been around the block long enough, and he's been in the Word of God long enough. He does what he has to do to listen to what God says. And it helped him focus on what was coming up to work on the problem that he was going through. He was listening for leadership from God's Spirit. Now, we do that in conjunction with God's Word, and we do that on our knees. Sometimes we do it when we're riding in a car. But we're listening to the Word of God. And when we make decisions, we need to make sure we base our decisions on God's Word. You say, well, there's no chapter and verse that tells me whether or not I should take this job or change industries or whatever we got to do. No, but God's Spirit, He's real good about speaking to us and giving us peace. If you read that, if we had time to finish that passage of Scripture, you'll see that they felt good about what they were doing in the end. The Lord said, "Be not afraid. I got this handled." And when you seek His Word and you do it in humility and with a concentration on what His Word says and in conjunction with advice, you know, advice is good. Sometimes we just need to listen to somebody's advice. He will let us know. He'll give us a peace about a decision. And we're about to get overrun by people coming through these doors. So would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this story. We thank you that it helped. It will